We're all fired up here at KUOW. It's the championship record for Monday, the 3rd of February. I'm Marcy Silman.
Nice blue and green, by the way, on your face.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my jersey, too.
Yeah, very nice. I'm Steve Scher. The Washington State legislators are feeling a little 12th man-ish as well. There's plans to honor the team. Austin Jenkins is KUOW's Olympia correspondent. He joins us during the session to bring us a preview of the issues legislators are debating. Austin, what about state legislators? Are they wandering the halls in green and blue face paint?
Yeah, you got to believe it. And, they even made kind of an exception to the regular code that requires gentlemen to be wearing a coat and tie on the floor. And, there's a dress code down here. They try to keep it pretty formal. But there were blue Fridays when you could wear your jersey over your tie and shirt. And I think we'll see more of that in the coming days here.
That's nice that the Seahawks bring the East and the West side, the North and the South together. I know that's going to translate into bipartisanship in the bills they pass.
Yeah, right. You know, they seem to be able to agree on, some few things and then vehemently disagree on others. And it's almost like they just separate the two. They can, it's like you can pass somebody in the hallway and high five them on the Seahawks and then a few minutes later be vociferously debating them on the floor on some topic that you really disagree about.
Governor Inslee and the First Lady of Washington, they attended the big game. They're scheduled to return home today if weather prevails. What kind of what are they going to do to honor the team in Olympia? Do we know?
We don't know yet. What I've been told is there will be something. My guess is that they'll try to get some of the players down here. They'll probably do something on one or both of the chamber floors. I imagine the governor in some fashion will be involved. But my hunch is that we got to wait for the festivities in Seattle and the parade and whatnot on Wednesday before Olympia gets its shot at the team.
Yeah, ex-football player Jay Inslee, he'll want to get in on that.
No doubt.
Senate Republicans did a turnaround last week. They passed their version of a bill to allow undocumented children who were brought to the U.S. They get the chance to apply for state need grants to help them pay for college. The DREAM Act, the Real Hope Act, is it either?
That's a very good question. I mean, the reality is that politically, I think both sides have realized that this is probably good politics in an election year to expand the universe of youth that are eligible for this program to include high school graduates who came here to this country with their parents illegally. But the reality on the ground is that this program today serves about 70% of the eligible kids. So 100,000 kids qualified last year. Only 74,000 actually got grants because of a shortage of funds. The Senate is calling their version of this the Real Hope Act because they throw another $5 million into the pool of funds. I'm told by the state need grant program that would fund about another 1,100 slots. What we don't know is how big the universe of these newly eligible students would be. The reality is that for a lot of kids, even though they qualify, they don't get the money. And that's not likely to change.
I tried to figure out from Senator Barbara Bailey last week whether there was anything that is irreconcilable in these two bills and where the $5 million was going to come from.
I don't think they're not going to close a tax exemption or anything. At this point, my understanding is that Senator Andy Hill, the Senate budget writer, feels like he's found $5 million that they can put into this. Whether there's something that between the House and the Senate that's unbridgeable, I haven't gotten that indication, but the House, at least when I checked on Friday, had not scheduled an immediate vote. They aren't fast-tracking this, and these are two different measures. So the Senate measure, I guess, now goes over to the House. But my sense is that this is one of those things that now there's enough momentum behind it, it's going to get through, get this to the governor's desk. It's just a matter of does it happen in the next week or so, or do they push it out a bit?
Now, we had two hearings on two measures, Austin Jenkins, that would change background checks for gun sales in the state. One would basically bring them to a halt until there's a federal standard, or if it complies with the federal standard that really doesn't exist. The other would expand background checks to almost all transactions. What did we learn from the hearings about how this debate's going to unfold?
Well, we learned that, not surprisingly, both sides are capable of turning out their supporters in great numbers. I mean, there were lines out the door. There were overflow rooms. We learned that you can have a panel of shooting victims like former Congressman Gabrielle Giffords and Cheryl Stumbo, who's the sponsor of Initiative 594 and survived the Jewish Federation shooting in Seattle. And right after that, you can have a gun rights panel that will express sympathy to those victims, but will in no way back down in their belief that this proposal 594 is flawed. That can all happen in the same room within minutes of each other. Nobody is backing down. In fact, people, I think, are sort of retrenching and digging in. And I think that what we saw last week is a preview of the battle, the campaign you will see going into this fall. Both of these measures have now qualified for the ballot. They were initiatives to the legislature. Nobody expects the legislature to act beyond those hearings. And so it will be the voters deciding come this fall.
And maybe this fits in with this. House Democrats hold a hearing this week on a 12-hour minimum wage proposal. Senate Republicans passed a workers' comp measure last week. Senate Republicans introduced proposals to cut down the size of the Supreme Court, remake the Public Disclosure Commission, eliminate the office of the insurance commissioner. These chambers seem to be working at different agendas, you say.
Yeah, different agendas. I mean, they're not parallel tracks, but it is sort of like two trains going down different tracks, and you don't see any real opportunity for the two to come together. I guess if it's trains, you don't want that to happen. If it's legislatures and they need to sort of agree on some things and get out of here, maybe you do want them to find commonality. But the reality is that they are teeing up issues that I think that they think will play well this fall in the elections. Keep in mind that control of the state Senate is very much in play this year. And yeah, they have, you know, it's a mostly Republican majority in the Senate, a Democratic majority in the House. Very different priorities, especially as we are sort of in this slow recovery out of the Great Recession about what to do for the economy. And within the limitations that a legislature has to do much of anything in that realm, you've got very different views of what the priorities should be. And they're kind of just falling down around along typical business versus labor lines. The Republicans are proposing to, for instance, try to do things that might lower the cost of workers' compensation insurance. The Democrats are saying, let's do some things like paid sick leave or raise the minimum wage for the workers. That's kind of the theme right now, is very different approaches to what everyone views as a pretty sluggish recovery.
Well, we got a few more weeks to see what happens as the legislature finishes up this session. Austin Jenkins, KUOW's Olympia correspondent. Thanks again for that preview, Austin.
You're welcome.
You're tuned to The Record.